The fourth political theory by Alexander Dugin proposes an alternative to the dominant ideologies of the 20th century, liberalism, communism, and fascism. Dugin's theory rejects Western liberal individualism, emphasizing a multipolar world that respects cultural and national diversity. It calls for a post-global political framework that values the unique identity and traditions of each nation, aiming to build a world where multiple civilizational paths can coexist without forced homogenization. For countries like Nepal, this theory suggests a path of self-determination, drawing on cultural heritage and local governance rather than adopting Western models, aligning well with the vision of a governance model rooted in Nepal's distinct values and needs. Democracy from the oligarchy, for the oligarchy, and by the oligarchy. Origins of democracy and oligarchic influence. Democracy is praised for its principles of equality and collective decision-making, yet even in its early forms, like in ancient Athens, democratic rights were limited to a privileged few, primarily wealthy landowners. Excluding women, slaves, and non-citizens, these early democracies functioned as mechanisms for elite control under the guise of popular rule, giving democracy historical roots in oligarchic influence. Oligarchic influence in modern democracies. Today, wealthy individuals, corporations, and political dynasties continue to wield significant influence in democracies, shaping policies through financial contributions, lobbying, and media ownership. These elites sway elections, control narratives, and influence policy, often tailoring the system to serve their interests rather than those of the public. For the oligarchy focus, although democracies are intended to serve the people, a considerable share of policies, such as tax cuts, corporate subsidies, and lenient financial regulations, benefit the wealthy minority. This results in widening wealth gaps and limited social mobility, reinforcing the power of the oligarchic class and further entrenching inequality. By the oligarchy dynamics. Democratic elections should empower citizens, yet in practice, elite interests frequently dictate candidates, political discourse, and even voting laws. Media, often owned by the powerful, aligns its messaging with elite priorities, ensuring that, despite elections, real power remains concentrated within the oligarchic elite who shape governance. Oligarchic capture of democracy. Democracy has the potential to self-correct, yet as elite influence grows, it becomes resistant to change. This oligarchic capture sees elites blocking reform efforts, controlling narratives, and funding opposition to protect their interests, making it difficult for democracy to respond to the broader population's needs. Conclusion: ideals versus reality. The gap between democratic ideals and practical reality reveals democracy's vulnerability to oligarchic control. While the ideal of rule by the people is crucial, without critique and reform, democratic systems risk becoming tools of the elite. To preserve democracy's essence, we must balance aspirational values with realistic safeguards that prevent oligarchic capture, recognizing both the ideological power of democracy and the need for grounded solutions. Classless society is not the essence of communism. Communism is commonly understood as a movement toward a classless society, but its true essence is the transformation of untapped resources, labor and land, into national wealth. Marx and Engels saw the potential in the unused labor force and unproductive lands, proposing a system where these resources would be used collectively for the benefit of all, rather than lying idle or being exploited for individual gain. This strategy aimed to elevate the national standard of living and eliminate poverty by harnessing every resource for collective welfare. For oligarchies, unused labor and land are potential sources of wealth, yet they often remain unproductive under systems focused on individual profits. Communist thinkers sought to address this by promoting equitable distribution with a focus on collective resource utilization over personal gain. Their vision emphasized national progress and economic justice, not merely class struggle. the role of Jenny von Westphalen and Friedrich Engels. Karl Marx's work was greatly influenced by Jenny von Westphalen, his intellectual partner, aristocratic origin, who reviewed and refined his writings. Friedrich Engels, a collaborator from an industrial background, also contributed crucial insights into capitalism's flaws and supported Marx financially. Their involvement highlighted communism's core focus on resource mobilization rather than just class conflict. Turning resources into national wealth. Communism's goal, therefore, is not simply to achieve a classless society, but to mobilize resources fully and equitably for the common good. Classlessness serves as a means to this end, ensuring wealth is shared and not concentrated. In essence, communism is about activating society's potential, transforming idle labor and land into engines of collective prosperity. The fourth political theory for Nepal. Nepal, a nation steeped in history and cultural diversity, finds itself at a crossroads. The conventional political systems, democracy, monarchy, and communism, have all had their turns but have fallen short in meeting the aspirations of the Nepali people and addressing the complexities of Nepal's unique socio-political landscape. In this context, the need arises for a fourth political theory. An alternative model tailored to Nepal's historical, cultural, and political challenges, drawing from the lessons of these ideologies while transcending their limitations. This theory would aim to create a governance model that prioritizes Nepal's unique identity, inclusive representation, economic sovereignty, and long-term stability. The essence of governance balanced leadership with accountability. Nepal's experiment with democracy has often been marred by internal conflicts, short-term power struggles, and corruption. While democratic principles hold immense value, their implementation in Nepal has frequently led to a focus on immediate gain for political elites rather than long-term national prosperity. To overcome this, the fourth political theory advocates for balanced leadership. A hybrid model that incorporates democratic accountability with the stability of central authority. Under this model, independent leaders with a strong track record in local governance, such as pragmatic mayors who have shown results in urban management, would be empowered to lead within a framework of shared governance. This would blend representative democracy with a system of checks and balances, ensuring leaders are both empowered and held accountable to the people. Leaders would be chosen not based on loyalty to party politics, but on proven competence, vision, and dedication to Nepal's progress. Nepal's diverse ethnic and religious communities have historically coexisted, but recent political instability has strained this fabric. The fourth political theory advocates for a unifying, inclusive national identity, a Nepalese way that celebrates pluralism while fostering a sense of shared purpose. Drawing from the lessons of monarchy's cultural role and communism's attempts at inclusivity, this model would emphasize education, community engagement, and shared values to strengthen a national identity that respects all groups. Inclusion would go beyond ethnic or regional representation. It would incorporate all voices in the economic, cultural, and political life of the country. By fostering an identity centered on mutual respect, Nepal could harness its diversity as a source of resilience, encouraging cooperation across communities to address shared challenges like poverty, healthcare, and education. One of Nepal's greatest challenges lies in its underutilized resources, vast lands, potential labor forces, and rich cultural heritage that have been largely untapped. The fourth political theory emphasizes a shift toward economic sovereignty by treating these resources as the wealth of the nation, to be cultivated for the common good. This approach draws on principles from communism, where collective wealth generation takes precedence, but it is implemented with a practical national focus rather than rigid ideology. The state would take a proactive role in mobilizing labor forces and local resources to foster sustainable industries such as tourism, agriculture, and renewable energy. Foreign investment would be welcomed but strictly regulated to ensure that Nepal retains control over its assets. with a focus on creating value for Nepali citizens rather than merely enriching external investors. By developing infrastructure, improving access to education, and investing in local talent, Nepal would move toward an economy that serves its people, fostering growth that remains within the nation. Nepal's unique blend of cultural traditions and modern aspirations offers both challenges and opportunities. The fourth political theory respects the enduring cultural significance of monarchy and other traditional values, seeing them as potential stabilizing forces rather than obstacles to progress. At the same time, it embraces innovation and progressive ideals, drawing from democratic principles to ensure that all citizens have a voice and that the state remains adaptable to change. This theory advocates for a fusion of traditional values with modern governance practices. For instance, while the monarchy may no longer hold ruling power, it could play a symbolic and cultural role, fostering unity and continuity. Similarly, spiritual and philosophical values from Nepal's heritage, such as compassion, wisdom, and mandatory healing, could guide policies on environmental stewardship, social welfare, and community development. The most pressing issue in Nepal's governance is not just structural, but psychological, a mindset entrenched in power retention and self-interest among politicians. The fourth political theory acknowledges that sustainable change can only occur when the political culture itself shifts toward prioritizing public service over personal gain. To this end, it advocates for a mindset reform movement, focusing on cultivating values of integrity, transparency, and responsibility among leaders and citizens alike. Education, public discourse, and legal accountability would all play roles in this transformation. Leaders would be encouraged and rewarded for acting in the public interest, while corrupt practices would be penalized severely. This aspect of the fourth political theory draws from the democratic ideal of accountability and aligns with the ethical underpinnings of Nepal's religious and philosophical heritage. Nepal's geopolitical location between India and China demands a nuanced, balanced foreign policy that safeguards its sovereignty without alienating either neighbor. The fourth political theory envisions a non-aligned, independent foreign policy rooted in mutual respect and strategic partnership. Nepal would focus on building alliances based on shared interests, prioritizing diplomatic engagement, and advocating for Nepal's unique voice on the world stage. To ensure economic and political independence, Nepal would work towards self-sufficiency in essential sectors while diversifying its international partnerships. This balanced approach would help Nepal avoid becoming overly dependent on any single power, enabling it to pursue a path that aligns with its long-term national interests. The fourth political theory for Nepal is a synthesis of democratic, monarchic, and socialist principles, recalibrated to fit Nepal's unique context. It advocates for a model of governance that emphasizes balanced leadership, inclusive identity, economic sovereignty, respect for tradition, mindset reform, and non-alignment in foreign policy. This theory offers a way forward that is both practical and visionary, rooted in Nepal's cultural heritage while embracing the potential for a modern, united, and resilient nation. This approach doesn't seek to copy Western or Eastern models, but rather to develop a distinctly Nepali system that recognizes the complexities of the 21st century and the aspirations of its people. It is a call to action for Nepalis to envision a future where governance is not just about power, but about service, stability, and collective prosperity. By blending tradition with innovation and fostering a true national identity, the fourth political theory could provide Nepal with a framework for sustainable growth, national unity, and long-term stability. The end. If you enjoyed this content, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to my channel. Also, leave a comment below with your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. And to make sure you never miss an update, be sure to turn on notifications. Stay motivated, stay inspired, and I'll see you in the next video for more insights and future content.